Accession number 31414.
So Mike Unireel 4. So we're in autumn of 1942. You have been in
1942 autumn time.
You've been in hospital. You've recovered. You've
recovered.
You did the medical for the
medical for joining Air Force.
Can you remember anything about the medical? What it was like?
Well, the medical, as medicals are, eyesight, hearing, that sort of things, and of course, medical checkup. So it wasn't very, very precise, I guess. Still, anyhow, I managed to get through all right, and that's what did matter to me. And I didn't expect. I thought that something may come wrong, maybe. But no, that's all right. Anyhow, we were informed in autumn 1942 that we would be traveling to this country. And in autumn, I think it must have been probably November. November, we were told and taken to Basra. That's the port. And from Basra, we traveled to Bombay. They call it now, that's not Bombay.
Mumbai, yes. They call it. Everybody still knows it's Bombay.
Mumbai, yes, anyhow. I remember that as Bombay.
And you took ship across the Bay of Bengal.
Yes. Anyhow, we were taken first we were taken to Karachi from Basra. That's Pakistan. And there we stayed about 4 months. It was very lucky, really, because I decided now that I'm going to this country, I'm going to learn English. So what I did, I went to the Karachi University there, because I knew that some probably lecturers who were studying in this country before the war. And indeed, I found a lecturer who was studying in this country, and he knew perfectly well, I thought anyhow, English, and he agreed to give me lessons twice weekly. Of course, I paid him for it.
What other languages did you speak at the time? You spoke Polish?
Oh, I could
did you speak Russian?
Quite fluently Ukrainian language, German, Polish, a little bit of Latin, because that was not very much. So and then I learned a little bit of Hungarian, of course, being in Hungary.
And no Arabic from your time in...
Arabic? Oh, yes, a few words. I never forget Arabic in Latrun. They used to bring ice cream to us, and we taught a boy Arabic to say what were you selling. But in Polish, taught him gorące lody, hot ice cream. He was going around and shouting, "Gorące lody, gorące." That's what funny things. Yes.
So you're in Karachi and you're learning English.
And Karachi was a very, very important part of the journey because of the fact that I learned, we played football, soccer there and so on. But most of all, I spent on learning English.
And did the war now seem a very distant thing? Because Karachi was like a peacetime city, I imagine.
Well, you're absolutely right. When you are away from the zone, war zone, you feel free, sort of happy that nothing going to happen to you. But I knew that going to this country, I didn't know what sort of a military job I will have. I'm going to, first of all, learn flying, to become pilot. But what pilot and what to do, that I didn't know. from what I learned, it's a dangerous job to be pilot, whether the aircraft, whether single aircraft or multiple engine aircraft. I didn't know that.
What did your comrades at arms think? Did they think that you were crazy to join the?
Pardon?
What did your comrades think of you joining the Air Force? Did they think that you were...
Well, they wanted to go themselves, but not everybody was sort of in condition to there are quite a number of people who went to the medical examination, but didn't pass it. So that's just that. Everybody wanted to come to this country, really, most of all. Most of the people there.
Because you wanted to fight the Germans and you wanted to get
back?
Oh,
that was absolutely essential, that gave it a chance to fight the Germans. And to me, the most important part was that I wanted to fly. I wanted to be a pilot, to become a pilot. I remember as a young boy, I used to go, there was a summertime, there used to be airfield. So provisional airfield, they used to come to fly there, and I used to go there and lie on the grass and observe them taking off and coming down, and the old machines.
And did you fly at the time? Did anyone
no,
take
I
you?
No, I was very young then. I was a boy, I think 12 or something like that. But it was all right. All right. Anyhow, I started our lesson, English lessons, and it was quite well went. Fortunately, we stayed in Karachi 4 months. And then in 1943, I think it was January, we started the journey from Karachi along the ocean, Indian Ocean, along the African coast to Cape Town. But we traveled on a ship called Devonshire, 10,000 tons, I remember, was the ship, which we started journey from Karachi. And we dropped in the Mumbai. For a day. And then went out to Indian Ocean along the Madagascar, which is in Durban. Durban, we left the ship and were taken to a cricket pavilion, I think about 5 or 6 miles from outside. Beautiful place, beautiful food, lovely, enjoy the walk. We stayed there fortnight, and after fortnight, on the 1st of March, I remember that.
1943.
Well, we were embarked the ship called Empress of Canada. That was 15,000 tons luxury ship, beautiful. And we started our journey first along the coast, Africa was north, southwards, then around Cape Town, joining the Atlantic and up north. We traveled 13 days. On the 13th of March, it happened. We received a torpedo. We were torpedoed. It was midnight. And our position, as I learned later on, was quite close to the Freetown, Sierra Leone. And of course, that was experience that I shall never forget. We were going to sleep, actually. It was just before midnight. But this terrific bang on the side, and ship looked as pushed aside, sideways. Well, in no time, all the lights went off. And we knew that what happened. I realized that the torpedo must have hit us. And I asked, as I was in charge of saving station there. So we ran out, just in as we were then, ran out to the station. I remember it was now number 5 life station. And there were already some people there, and the lifeboat were lowered already. So we started, when the lifeboat touched the water, we started to send people down. It went quite smoothly, but what happened later was unexpected. Well, at least I didn't realize. The people on the other side lost their boats, lifeboats, because of torpedo, and they damaged the lifeboats. So they started to come from the other side and joined us. So it increased the number of people who were to use the lifeboat by one third or something like that. And mainly these were when the women, the family of Polish officers and soldiers in this country, were going to join their husbands. And well, everything went quite all right with the people going down until the women started to going down. And the two women stopped. They wouldn't jump into the lifeboat. Why? Because the lifeboat was moving out in and out because of the waves. I didn't know. So I had to slid down along the ladder there and tell them to tell them, let go, take your hands off. And I pushed my hand to stomach and pushed them in, and they fell in then. And there were very few left now, people on the top, so I moved up again to the top. Meanwhile, Meanwhile,
we're going to get 12 now.
Yeah.
Shall we just let it finish? It's going to be 12 strikes. We'll just let it.
Anyhow. There you are. That's been there. I like these clocks. I like them. Anyhow.
That's good. Okay.
So I climbed back again on the deck there. There was no one there. The last person went down. And I heard some noise at the back. And at that time, the emergency light went off. And it became absolutely dark. I moved, tried to move where they heard the noises. And then I said, well, no point in going there. They're quieting down anyhow. So I said, what the hell am I going to do now? So I went back to the place I was original. Meanwhile, the boat moved out. Well, absolutely right, because there's no one coming down. So I thought for a while, and I knew that I got to leave the boat, because otherwise I'll go with it. So the sea was absolutely close now, so I jumped into the sea. I had my vest, jumped into the sea, and started to swim away from the boat as fast as possible. Well, I managed to get away before the ship went down, and I could hear a little bit sort of trembling and sort of sinking noise of the ship. And you can feel that, but that was far enough from the thing to be affected by it. And then I found myself alone in the water, and I thought, well, what's going to happen? And it happened, what that saved my life. Suddenly floodlights appeared. What happened? A U-boat came up, and that was an Italian U-boat, I've learned later on. And the captain used the floodlights to see, he asked about the name of the ship, the tonnage, and that sort of thing. And apparently he went one of the Italian officers, because Italians were with us in the boat, prisoner of war. And they were just where the torpedo hit under them. So there were very few saved, actually. So he took me once. But the most important thing was that they located the lifeboat, the nearest lifeboat, because all the floodlights.
You could see it.
I could see it. So I began to swim towards the boat, and I, within a several minutes I've got there, and they pulled me up, and I was saved. So it wasn't as bad as them. But the danger that I realized happened the next morning. I fell asleep almost immediately. I was tired, and in spite of the fact I was absolutely soaked in the water. But the next morning, about 9 o'clock, I woke up, and there was a beautiful day, lovely. But at the same time, I could see the what happened, and the patches of oil, and the thing. But what astounded me was the big fish that sharks, about 15 feet long, and with the companions of the sucker fishes, blue ones. And then I thought, how lucky I was I didn't have thought about it when I was in the water. And there they were swimming, hundreds of them. And the funny part is, well, there were oil rings on the water. Now what happened, there were patches of oil, and the shark, when we put his top fin, swam away and took the ring on the top end, and then he went down that left on the top of the water, and there were rings like that. But it's in spite of everything, the fish, the shark is a beautiful fish, really, maybe. But
and what was the mood on the lifeboat? Were people terrified? Were there women on? There were women.
Yeah,
on
we were the only thing. We kept together the wandering camp. Of boats and all sorts of things. And the same afternoon, aircraft came flying along. So we thought, well, now they know about it. Apparently, the captain had a radio or something. And 2 days later, three destroyers, British destroyers, appeared on the horizon. And they took us on the board, and we traveled day and a half, I think, to Sierra Leone, Freetown. They took us there.
I'm just curious about the 2 days in the boat. How was that under the hot tropical sun?
Well, we had no food except biscuits or something like that, but water, little sort of measure of water on the top of the. Three times a day.
Who took command of the lifeboat?
Pardon?
Who was the commander in each lifeboat?
Well, the commander was a British chap, because he knew all about it, obviously. There's no question about that. He knew well, and he decided what the rations were, when the rations should be used. And there were mixed people there. There were women there in the boat and men.
Children? Any children?
No children. No. There weren't any children. And well, children, grown-up children, two beautiful girls, anyhow, that I remember. And the second night was a bit difficult night. There was wind blowing and waves, but we had to row all the time to keep direction, keep together. But anyway, on the third day in the afternoon, the three destroyers appeared, and we were loaded, and we got a cup of tea. And some biscuits, of course. It was quite all right. And we were taken to Sierra Leone, to Freetown, and the journey lasted again a day and a half. So it was quite a time.
When we
arrived there, we were taken to barracks, military barracks, inside the Freetown, and given some tea, coffee, whatever, that was all right. But the next day, we were given injections. It was terrible. Never in my life had such a painful injection as this one. Right into breast muscle, and I think the needle must have been used 100 times before. That was the most painful injection I ever had in my life. But still, it
injection against what?
Pardon?
For what? What was the injection for?
Oh, the malaria or something of the diseases that. Anyhow, in Freetown, we used to walk around, nothing to see much. And eventually, in a fortnight again, another ship came along, Mauritania.
But how many people were lost when the ship went
up? We've lost 27 Polish soldiers. 27, but I think it must have been over 100 or something Italians most were lost. Because they were killed, actually, by the torpedo there. And you could have seen the Italians, they were all black, in oil. And, of course, they were on a raft. They were not on the boats, on a raft. And these were the people, they heard noises behind me. The rafts were on the back of the ship. They were loading them and putting into the water. So we had some Polish girls who were also coming to Great Britain to join the RAF, Polish Air Force, WAFs. And one of them jumped into the water and committed suicide. The nervous breakdown or something. Anyhow. Well, anyhow, in the fortnight's time, the Mauritania came along, the 42,000 tons big ship. And we had loaded on it and started our journey to this country.
Without an escort, the ship?
All the ships were the escort. The only measure they adopted was the changing course.
Zigzagging, yeah.
And on the ship, on Mauritania, nothing happened. We were caught, and we arrived in Liverpool. And from Liverpool, we were taken by train to Blackpool. That was Polish base.
What were your first impressions of, I mean, the first time you were back in Europe for over 2 years? And what were your impressions of Britain? Because Liverpool then must have been very severely bombed.
You could see the difference between only by comparison what you've left in Poland, because the last what you've been seen in it is total. It is Liverpool, big town, and ships and that sort of things. That's different, totally different. Well advanced in buildings and other things, trains and. Blackpool made an impression, unusual place, with the boarding houses all along the coast, and the trams running all along, and we used the trams. So I had a lot to do with Blackpool because it was Polish base, actually, there. But anyhow, we didn't stay long at Blackpool. Very, very soon after we got the money for getting dresses, because we've lost everything, and so we got the uniforms, and very soon we were sent, of all places, to Torquay. ITW, of course, that's the physical, more or less, and a little bit about aircraft recognition and Morse signals and that sort of things. We were sent here in June 1943.
And again, I mean, Mike, you know, it was your first time ever in England. What were your impressions? What did you think? Did you think, God, these people are suffering?
My impression was, I don't know whether I had a special impression. Well, the impression was that it was a big country, a rich country, all because of the buildings, all brick buildings, most of them. That was probably. But otherwise, my impression was meeting people. British people meeting. That happened usually on the ballroom, on the ballrooms, dancing places where we used to go in the evening, in the first part of the being here. Otherwise, I don't know, meeting some, because there were very few people coming to Blackpool at the time of the war, one or two people. Otherwise, my impression of Britain was rather after the war.
Okay.
That was probably nearest to the truth, really.
So let's go back to you're in Torquay in 1943.
1943, when you're learning Torquay, that course lasted three months.
And you were there.
It was a course rather about physical conditions, about bringing back two teeth, repairing and that sort of thing, I liked it. I enjoyed it, and we were running all the time, running towards Paignton and all these places, and then in the evening we used to go to Pier to have a dance with the British girls. There were a lot of girls there, not so many men.
But you were a married man, of course.
Pardon?
You were a married man by this stage.
I was a married man, but the married man that doesn't mean that they can't enjoy their life. I'm pretty certain that my wife, she met people, met men, and that was enough.
But you were in communication with each other, with your wife.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. Now, what happened? That she stayed in Hungary. I've sent her money, though. I managed to send her £20, I remember, through the... Nobody knew about it except the Egyptian bank. And she received it. And she got it for the £20 there, 400 pengo, which was quite a lot of money. So that was kept her happy. Anyhow... The time here, we about 3 months. After 3 months, we were sent back to Blackpool, and soon afterwards, we were sent to Hucknall, that's just outside Nottingham, to a flying course. That's where we started flying.
So we're now in sort of the beginning of the winter of 43.
We are autumn 43. And of course we started flying, then complete course. After 10 hours flying, I was sent solo. So I've done my and passed the...
What planes were you flying?
Oh, Tiger Moth, of course. Lovely, beautiful plane. Lovely to fly. Provided you don't sort of interfere with it, it flies itself.
And your instructors were Polish or English?
Polish.
So the instruction was in
These
Polish?
These instructors were actually Battle of Britain pilots.
Polish
pilots, yes. Very good pilots. Too good.
And what did they... I see in your notes you said it was very exciting to meet these men. What did they tell you? What did they...
They told us all the first of all the medals and that sort of things, and they told us the experience of fighting the Germans and most of the people were killed, the big fighters, except some left, but unfortunately, there were big losses there in India. But we were very proud of them. We were very sort of... we tried to get in touch with them. We tried to stay with them.
I'm just going to do this again.
Anyhow, we were back to Hucknall, and then we started our learning how to fly, how to behave in the air. I was very lucky, really, in the sense that I liked it and enjoyed it. Although during the learning, there were some killed as well, crashed pilots. But I completed it course very, very well, no problem.
You trained
three months, and then
on Tiger Moss, and then you went on to.
I've done my Soul of Lying and map readings and God knows all the, and then we were sent to. I was chosen to fly a double engine aircraft. That was Oxford, and that was the other side of Nottingham, Newton, Grantham side, behind the Trent River. And we started to fly. We got again. There's training again with the instructors, and then only our own. There's nothing exciting about it. Once you master the flying, and then after that it started again. We were sent. Then I was sent to the